Welcome to Church Media HQ. I am your host, Luke Clayton, and I'm glad you've joined me for today's episode. All right, Matt. So you and me have always been like kind of Apple enthusiasts, if you will. Right. I was already into Mac before I met you, but you definitely helped me discover a lot of things about it. Apple just did their first event of 2021. It would have been on Tuesday, April 20th. And they actually surprisingly announced a lot of new stuff, a lot more than I thought they would. I thought they would just, maybe two or three things. And I mean, some things are obviously bigger than others, but they announced quite a few things. So I wanted to just kind of recap that with you. I watched the full event. I don't think you actually watched the full thing, but I think you know the highlights. So I'm going to skip the first like 10 minutes where they always brag on how like inclusive and environmentally friendly they are. And then they also talk about changes to like the Apple Card, their credit card, which again, not a huge deal, I guess. They talked about, what was that other thing? Oh yeah. They announced a purple iPhone 12 as if that matters. Try to skip ahead to.
You don't want to talk about the 2030 plan?
I know, right? Yeah. It's Earth, like, why are you featuring
Luke? Earth won't wait.
I know. Well, it's like, why? Okay, whatever. I guess I just hate Mother Earth, man. I don't know what it is. anyways, and it's so funny. Side note, they make this big deal about how they're trying to be all environmental, like removing the chargers from the iPhones, moving forward. It's like,
now we're the environment.
No, it's not. You're saving yourself a ton of money.
Chargers now.
Yeah. So anyways, I digress there. I could go on and on. So I think the first major thing that they announced that's actually kind of an all new product category for them is AirTags. I'm not sure if you have taken a deep dive into what those are yet, but it's basically their alternative to Tile, right. And it works directly with the Find My app and the Find My network. I think it's pretty cool.
Up just now, and I don't see it on their site. Where is it?
They're not doing a great job of featuring it, I will say. I mean, it's like very, if you go down here, it's like right now, there's the thing about Mother's Day. You have to tap on that
Go to accessories. They have Shop AirTag.
Okay, yeah, there it is. So, anyways, yeah, this is like a tracker more or less. So you can attach it to your keys. Put one in your bag. So it's pretty. I think it's a pretty cool concept. I mean, it's nothing new in terms of like Tile has been doing this for a while.
Right.
What I was surprised though is the price. Like I thought, Apple, I was like, they're gonna charge like $100 for one of these, but it's actually pretty decently priced competitively compared to Tile. I mean, you got one for $29 or four for $99. So
how much is a Tile? I said, what is a Tile? I meant to say, how much is a Tile?
I think it's like $25. I think their base model is they have higher. It's been so long since I even looked into Tile.
Yeah, $25. Yeah, if you get the pro version of it, which let's just be honest, that's actually probably a better comparison would be the pro version.
Yeah.
The pro version is $34. So the pro version of Tile is actually more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is Apple definitely saying more or less, hey, we're going to put Tile out of business.
I have a completely different opinion now that I've seen this.
Okay. Like in what way?
So my opinion at first was like, why? Like this is just another money-making scheme of Apple's. But I actually think this is kind of genius now. Like,
yeah, no, I definitely, okay. I think they,
I got this and I got, where's my, I got this.
Yep.
And I got my $5,000 MacBook over here.
Yep. And your AirPods.
Apple fanboy. Mr. Apple fanboy. I see a $29 Apple product. It's like, I'll buy five.
Well, I really am. I think you could start ordering them tomorrow. So that'd be Friday at time of recording this. So I think I am going to order a four pack because I could put one in my bag. I'm going to I want to figure out a way to like track my daughter. Like she's three, but it's like, I feel like it's like, can I put one like in your pocket at all?
Give the NSA a call. They could tell you all about it.
I know. Right. But anyways, so that, those were kind of, they did. And surprisingly, I guess not surprising because it's kind of a small product, but they didn't spend a ton of time talking about it. But I do think they're, I do find them pretty interesting. Well, so I'm definitely going to be
looking into those. A lot of time on it. Like, it's so simple. Like, hey, it tracks devices. And oh, by the way, ours has a cool app on it that lets you actually like points you in the direction of where the thing is. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. That is something worth noting. Yeah. Like it literally like on your phone, it's like a compass, like pointing you to the, to wherever that AirTag is. Right. So
I guess my only criticism is over a Tile. So yes. Is it cheaper than a Tile Pro? Yes. A Tile Pro also has a key ring built right onto it.
That is true.
The cheapest one I'm seeing here. Let me share this again. Let me share my screen again. I need to get an Elgato Stream Deck so bad for stuff like this. So I could just like click instead of need to always like go to share screen. The cheapest one they have. Oh wait, you can get a $449 Air Maze one. Buy five of those guys right now. Stop the podcast. Go buy an Air Maze luggage tag. The cheapest one that's made is these one from Belkin for $1,295.
Yeah, yeah. So that is, but that's very Apple-esque. I mean, it we're going to basically require you to buy an accessory in order for it to work.
Do you see what I'm seeing right now? Look, pay attention to the price of what I have open right now. What else costs that much money? Right, let's do a little homework review here. Wait for it. Literally, the silicon band is the same price as the technology as the
tag itself. I know. Like,
if that's not Apple, what is?
But wow. Anyways, so the AirTags, that is a whole new thing. And then the next thing they announced was the a new Apple TV 4K. And the only major upgrade I noticed that I really took note of was the first of all, on the TV itself, they have a way for you to like color calibrate your TV and your with you using your iPhone, which I think that's pretty cool. And yeah. Then they have finally revisited the remote again, and the remote was getting a lot of bad bad reviews. And I understand the old remote, it's like Apple trying to be so simple, yet it was almost oversimplified. And so this remote is the most un-Apple thing they've probably ever made because it's got so many buttons and whatever, but it's going to be a lot more functional in my opinion.
I mean, is it not kind of funny? This looks like another thing, like the original Apple remote.
I know.
Fine.
I know. Right. And they brought back the track wheel, like from the old iPod.
Right.
Like
that was kind of cool actually to me. Like let's give Steve a little homage here right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's really the only difference on the Apple TV there. So, I mean, everything stayed at the same price.
This is really major though. Like this is major because what they had before it, that remote, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was. It was. So this dude, because the thing I can't stand about it, because that's what I have. The current remote is, I don't know how many times I've bumped the, you know, that trackpad there, and it just completely skips ahead on my show or pauses it or whatever. So well, anyways,
how about how it says menu on it, and yet menu doesn't take you to menu; it's just back. Like even just such a simple change like that, like. Making it be the back button. Oh. Like to me, like, thank you for making this make sense.
And it has a power button. I mean, so now you can turn your TV on and off with the actual Apple remote. There's a power button.
You could still kind of do that before though, like mine. So I have like a head amp in my house and my Apple TV is plugged into it. Then my head amp is plugged into my ARC connector on my TV. And so as soon as a device has power coming to it, it automatically turns my TV on anyways. So, but I still think though, for like the average person doesn't have a setup like I do. So yeah, it makes it work for the average person now.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I do love the remote. That is big. Like you said, but the TV itself, the changes to the boxes aren't really significant. I feel like this was their excuse to be like, man, everybody hates this remote, so let's fix it. But still,
put the HD Bionic in it though, didn't they?
Did they?
They did.
Oh, yeah, A12 Bionic. Yeah, yeah. So they did upgrade.
That's actually a big jump in processing power.
Yeah, what is it right now? Is it like the 10?
See, I don't know because mine, I never even got the first 4K because I don't have a 4K TV. So I just have the HD version, and it's literally like whatever's in the iPhone 5 is what's in there.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, that's all I have too. I didn't realize it was that old.
Let's see here. I think they have.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Here's Apple TV HD. Let's see. Oh, the Apple TV HD. They package the new remote with it.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But they did upgrade it though. Like when you click on it, it does not say new. So it's still the same device, but they like in the picture, they put the new remote.
They're including the new remote. Well, that's good. That's good.
That was really smarter than to do. I want to see if it says here what chip is in this thing.
They're probably hiding it, truth be known. They're probably going to make it very hard to find. Here's tech specs.
Oh, wait. There's tech specs. Yeah. There's tech
specs. Let's see. Well, A8. Oh, yeah. Wow. yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, so that's honestly the TV, the AirTags, those are cool. But now let's talk about the first of I think this was the coolest part, and that is the new iMac. This is you got to go look at it to see it. But this is Matt's going to pull it up there. Look how thin those are. These are like 11 millimeters thin now, which is insane.
I gotta reload the page so you see the little animation.
Oh, there it is. Boom. Boom. Beautiful. And it comes in all these colors. And so this is, we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but I think obviously it's a completely new look to the iMac. And the colors, not just the colors, but the design itself. And then, as you go down, you see the, I'm trying to follow along with you and on my iPad here. So obviously the biggest jump in terms of internally here is the M1, which they introduced the M1 chip back in the fall. And just to not dive into all of the, I guess, get too crazy deep into the weeds of what that means for people. Basically, before they were using Intel for their processors, now they're using M1. And it's a lot more than that, really, that the chip does a whole lot more than it does. It's amazing. Like everything's built into one chip, basically. So it's what allows them to make it so thin. And dude, I will say, I have an M1. I bought the M1 MacBook Air back when it came out in the fall. Yeah. And it is
impressive. What's your impression so far?
What's that?
Are you impressed by it?
Yeah. Now, the only thing I will say about it, and this could just be my experience, but there's definitely times where it's a little bit buggy because it's trying to not near that many apps are updated for M1. It's running on Rosetta, which means it's trying, you know, it works very well. But there are certain, like, for example, Adobe InDesign, I might as well not even try, which I don't work in InDesign that much anymore. And it could just be me, but there's literally times when I'm using InDesign where the whole computer will just freeze up for about 20 seconds and I have to wait for it to just essentially allow me to use it again.
TV timeout. Like, I am so glad we're talking about this right now because I'm getting ready here soon to buy a new laptop for my interns. I was literally going to buy a MacBook Pro or a MacBook Air, since it's essentially the same thing.
It's the same thing.
M1. The primary thing these guys do for, like, their most essential job for me during the week is they do all of pastors' handouts and slides.
And so that's obviously, in design.
Like, yeah, in design.
I mean, again, it could be an isolated experience. I've actually never looked it up or Googled it, so I probably should. But I don't use InDesign enough anymore for it to matter. But that is something that I've noticed. And so here's what I was hoping to see. I was hoping that iMac was already rumored to be, you know, coming out. I was hoping they were going to introduce like the M1X or like the M2 or something. Yeah. But I have a feeling that'll come later, maybe in the fall. All that aside, the iMac is amazing. The M1 is amazing. It is all that they're raving about in terms of speed and performance and everything. I mean, I went from a 15-inch MacBook Pro. It was like a 2017 Intel, obviously. And I'm not going to say that this is definitively better because it is a MacBook Air. But I mean, I didn't notice. I mean, it's definitely equally, if not maybe slightly better than the one I had. So yeah. I am very happy with it, but this iMac just looks so cool. That's my thing about this. It's just such a beautiful.
Like I'll go on record saying like I'm an Apple fanboy. It is worth buying this thing just because you can get it in color.
I know, right?
Like I'm sorry. I mean, who wouldn't want this orange beauty on their desk?
I know. It's
or even this yellow. Like
I would go with the blue probably.
Blue is it's subtle, but it still is like such a great color. I actually kind of wish on the chin that they would have carried the dark color on the chin though, since the stand is the light color. That now, like when you're sitting there looking at your computer, you don't see that beautiful dark color now.
I guess I could see what you're coming from there. But yeah, anyway.
I like how they kept the bezel white, though, to be an homage to the original iMacs. Every single one, no matter what color, it's a white bezel.
Yeah. Well, you know why they're introducing so, and I don't want to go off on this too long, but you know why they're reintroducing color into their products now. And it really is because old Johnny, however you want to pronounce his name, he's gone. And he was him and Steve Jobs had that common thing that everything should just be black, black or dark gray or silver. That was like the only. He was a great designer, but it is cool to see these colors coming back.
Yeah. It's so nostalgic.
Yeah.
It's just so nostalgic.
Well, and I mean, think about they are going to see increased sales because of this, because there are going to be people that buy a Mac just to have a red Mac.
Be honest, this pink one, like, so my daughter is just about to graduate kindergarten, and she's a pretty good reader. Once she gets fully into full-fledged reading, she's already into programming and stuff. So literally, like, the day I know that she could function on her own on a computer and won't be grabbing me every 30 seconds, like, this is her first computer right here, this pink
one.
The day I know she can, I'm buying one of these. Just the $12.99 one. Just go get, like, bare bones everything, because, you know, there's a good chance she's going to break the thing. You know, there's a good chance she's going to, like, you know, have her throw her doll baby across the room and hit it, you know. So I don't want to buy an $1,800 computer. But, like, yeah, that's how bougie I am.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a great – and I was actually surprised at the price. It's actually not – I thought Apple for sure. I thought, man, this is going to start at, like, $1,800 to $2,000. But no, it starts at what, $12.99?
$12.99.
I mean, granted, that's the base model, but even just to upgrade, it's just about
$200 to $400 more. Though. So what's the difference between this and the upgraded models? Less storage space, you know, which once again, for like a young user or like the average internet user, it doesn't matter. Less ports. Once again, the average user doesn't even need ports. Mm-hmm. And it has one core less of graphics.
Yeah.
It is essentially the same as the highest model, even if you get the lowest.
Yep. I know, right? And the other difference, I guess, is technically you can upgrade your RAM. But the truth is, man, the M1 does so much of the work now. It's not that RAM is irrelevant. I still got the 16 gig, you know, RAM version of RAM there. But it is. I was impressed. Once again,
for a young user or a simple user, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And that's what I always try to make that difference between the kind of the pro user, the power user, and there's the average consumer. If you're just going to use your computer to, you know, get on the internet, check Facebook, type up Word documents, look at spreadsheets. Yeah, exactly. You don't need more than the base model of anything that Apple
offers. Oh, and by the way, you get what, a 4.5K display, I think, on this
thing? Oh yeah. Yeah. It is a gorgeous display.
Let's see here. I want to get to the display. They have so many graphics built in this. It takes so long to scroll.
I know, right? But yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure it's a 4.5K display. I think you were right on that. Scrolling. And it's 24 inch. That's big too, because before 21-inch was the base model.
Yeah. Now, if you remember though, they used to have a 24-inch machine. They got away from this aspect ratio.
Yeah.
honestly, to me, I think it's so smart them going back. Like 16 by 9 is great, but let's just face it, though. Like, we're not using our computers to watch movies. You know,
that's No, we're not. We're not. Like, although, if you look at their promo materials, they're leading you to believe that they actually are promoting it in a lot of ways. Like, you see kids watching movies on it or whatever. But hey,
casual watching, though. You know,
either way, it's an amazing treat.
So for $12.99. You're getting an M1 Mac with a 4.5K display.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it is a little bougie. Like, do you need a 4.5K display? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But for $12.99, though,
yeah.
Like, a 24-inch 4.5K display is going to cost so my displays are LG 4Ks, and they have the same type of color gamut as these, right? These are P3 color gamut. My monitors are the same as that monitor, right? They're whatever the nits is on these is what this is. Mm-hmm. Mine's just 4K, not 4.5 because of the shape. I got 27 inches, so it's like a true 16 by 9. So you can't get 5K, right? So mine are essentially like the spiritual successor to these things.
Yeah.
This monitor was 700. Each one of these two were 750 a piece.
Yeah. Yeah. So
right,
I mean,
there's your iMac.
Yeah.
That's it. What? You got your $700 Mac Mini basically built into it, and you got your $700. Honestly, it's less money.
Yeah.
It's less money than buying my monitor plus a Mac Mini. It's cheaper.
Yeah. Now, that said, I will say, if there's someone out there and they're like, well, do I already have, because first of all, 4K is awesome. 4K screens are fantastic. But again, not something that maybe the average person needs.
Right.
If you just have HD, it's more than sufficient. So if you already have a screen, you already have a display, a monitor, then I will tell you, going and getting the Mac Mini is the equivalent in terms of power, processing, performance to having this iMac. It's not as pretty. It's a little bit, but it is going to be half the price, at least at the starting. So, or the way I see it is maybe you're somebody who's a little bit more of a power user and you've already got the screens. Well, hey, maybe instead of taking that money and putting the iMac, soup up your Mac Mini a little bit and get the extra RAM and the extra storage.
Yeah. Honestly, if you are a power user at all, like if you're anything one step beyond just word processing, you fill in the blank with that one step beyond is. I don't care who's told you 8 gigs of RAM is enough. They've lied to you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a reason why companies like Apple make their base models 8 gigs, because they know 3 to 5 years from now, it's not going to be good enough anymore.
Yeah.
You're going to buy a new machine from them. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason all these manufacturers do the same thing. So it's not just an Apple thing. So this is not hate on Apple. Dell does this. Lenovo does this. They all do it. Mm-hmm. But it's literally, they're trying to say, okay, how can we, in a world where they can't upgrade their RAM anymore, how can we make them buy a new computer?
Exactly. Because, and then not too long ago, 4 gigs was the base model. You know, 4 gigs of RAM was base. So yeah, and that is true.
And
so yes,
where are all those machines now?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I like the way you put that. If you're going to be one step beyond browsing the internet and using Word documents, whatever that is, if that's using Photoshop or some type of more advanced software, yeah, go with the 16 gigs. And if you do have the extra, I think it's $200. If you have the extra $200, I say get it because it future-proofs it, you know, like you're saying. So, okay, got to move on from that to talk about the iPad Pro. And here's the coolest thing about the iPad Pro is that it actually is running off of the M1. They've put the M1 in the iPad Pro, which again, without getting too super nerdy about it, basically means that you have the same chip processor that's in a computer, also in an iPad. The other big thing that it's done, they've upgraded the cameras a little bit. But then also now the 13-inch has their XDR display, which is a really like a beautiful display. Just to give you an idea of that technology, in order to get an XDR, this actual external display, I think it's like a $3,000 product.
Oh, I think they're $5,000, aren't they?
$5,000 if you get the stand. But anyway, so the iPad Pro now has, and really, I'll be honest with you, that is the most significant update, but that's a pretty significant update internally to upgrade to the M1 inside of the...
Bro, are you looking at what I'm looking at right now? The Nano Texture Glass XDR without a stand is $55.99. The stand is $900.
Oh, yeah, I was a little off, man. Oh, goodness.
Oh, $64.98, bro. How do I add two to my cart? That's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's only $540 bucks a month if you finance it.
That's like literally like you're buying a car.
It is. I mean, dude, that's a car payment. I mean, it's half a mortgage payment for some people.
Oh my word. Like Pixar probably owns one of these in every one of their offices.
I know, right? So anyways, getting back to the iPad Pro here, like I said, the M1, that is its biggest, but it's a huge change. It's internal.
I was going to say, to make that even more clear, like what we're talking about, like literally there is, as far as the internals of your iPad, there's no difference between this machine and the iMacs we just looked at.
Yeah.
Like wrap your mind around that. You're carrying in your hand everywhere you go the power that iMac has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like that.
Which begs the question: when we get to WWDC and they announce iPad OS, what is it going to be able to do to take advantage of this? Because I will say, I will make this maybe bold statement: if they can't make significant upgrades to iPad OS to really make, because I will say, man, I love my iPad, but it's nowhere close to being able to replace my computer. No. And I don't care if in this case, because yeah, look at this. If you get the 1 terabyte or higher version of the 13-inch iPad Pro now,
16 gigs of RAM.
It's 16 gigs of RAM. It's the same specs as what I've got in my MacBook Air back here and what you can get in the highest version of iMac. But I don't care if it doesn't have the operating system to allow me to do what I can do on this one back here.
I'm going to go on record as to say that WWDC, they announced that you can choose if you want iPad OS to run on it or Mac OS.
Or they bring iPad OS and I don't know if they're going to do that this issue, but I do feel that they could be merging iPad OS and Mac OS soon. Basically making them the same.
They have to be.
I mean, why else would you put this much power onto an iPad?
I honestly feel like they prematurely released this iPad. Like, I know that they're trying to get away from the classic Steve Jobs reveal a big device at a developer conference.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this device belonged at WWDC because it goes hand in hand, right?
Well, dude,
like these are two organically connected things, the hardware and the software finally all meshing into the same thing.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. It's not going to be available until the second half of May, which means that WWDC and iPad OS will be announced within just weeks of it actually getting in people's hands. So I could see kind of strategically why they may have done this. Because essentially you're going to be able to take advantage of the newest iPad OS pretty soon. Well, I guess you'd have to get on the beta program because usually don't launch to the fall. But right. But anyways, this is okay.
This is the most ridiculous picture I've ever seen in my life. They have an iPad plugged into an XDR display.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When would you ever do this?
I would do this if I was running Mac OS on it. I for sure would.
Okay, wait. You would buy a $1,200 device and plug a $6,000 monitor into it?
Oh, okay, no, okay. I'm talking about a monitor.
This picture is the most ridiculous picture I've ever seen. Nobody is going to buy that display for the display for their iPad. I'm sorry, Apple. You're out of your minds.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, but I really would.
Plugging a normal monitor into, oh yeah, even a 4K monitor. Like, yeah,
if this iPad right here was running Mac OS and I could just take it and plug it into a cable and then start using it like that, oh yeah, I'm in. I'm in all the way. Well, hey, Matt, thanks for joining me for this review here. This was fun recapping all of this. I know we could dive into it a lot more. Man, this has to be something we do. Whenever Apple does an event, we'll get on, we'll chat about it. We'll put it out there for the world to see as if they care. But hey, we care, and that's all that matters.
Right.
All right. Right. Well, Matt, thanks again for being with us, and we'll have you back again soon.
Hey, sounds good, man. See you later.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this episode of Church Media HQ. If you haven't yet, I hope you will subscribe. wherever you are listening to podcasts. And I do want to challenge you. I hope that you found this content valuable. If you have, then share it with another church leader so that they can be helped as well. Something as simple as just liking and sharing a video on YouTube and Facebook can actually go a long way. So I thank you in advance for liking and sharing and helping this content get seen by others like you. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. Executive producer and host is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to remind you, whether it's with your website or with something else, it's time for you to try something new. Why? Well, because it is so much better to fail at trying the incredible than to succeed at doing the average. We'll see you next time here on Church Media HQ.